gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
Welcome to WHW Monday. Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson.
Jim Crockett for Starcade, 605 NWA. TV title, Cajun Omni, the Bunkhouse Stampede. Flair and Horseman, Garvin, Bogey, Magnum, Dusty, Express Tag Team. Turner, Bonin, Mid-South, Joy World Championship Wrestling.
Talking about the great years of World Championship Wrestling, the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotion.
Tony and Friends, North, they win. Look, Schiavone's back again. World title split off, center stage, Bischoff. Disney, Hogan, and Nitro. New World Order and the Crow. Thunder Russo, Arquette Champ, Vinnie Mac, simulcast. Tony's back with Conrad, not your classy podcast. Watch along, try not to laugh, Lois rules, cat bass. This wasn't the initial plan, Tom Zink's a good-looking man. Klondike Bill, make a chair, Tommy, you come over here.
What happened when?
WHW Monday. And now, let's go to the ring. And here's your co-host, hey, it's Conrad Thompson.
Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you know what time it is. It's time for a little bonus action. All up in that ass on WHW Monday Patreon. We greatly appreciate your support. It means a lot to Tony and myself, and we're going to keep cranking out whatever bonus content you want. Every month, you guys pick out two special pieces of bonus footage that we're going to go ahead and cover. And today is no different. This time, we're covering one of my favorite topics, the WWF in 1997. It's May 26, 1997. Fire up your WWE Network, click on Raw, scroll down so you can do the drop down for 1997, and eventually you'll scoot down and see May 26th. The show runs an hour and 34 minutes, but we're not going to watch the whole show. We're just going to watch a couple of segments here that were picked out, and I called an audible to go a little earlier because I know you missed this, but I know you're going to love it, Tony. Let's go to 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 12 seconds. So when you get to this episode of Raw from May 26, 1997, if you're watching on your computer like Tony and I are, you can go ahead and click the tile that says Sable promotes the King of the Ring chair, which is hilarious, and I want Tony to see it. So it's 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 12 seconds. Sable promotes the King of the Ring chair, and this was a great suggestion, was it not, Tony?
From Brett Stortenbecker, who is one of our low-key big hogs and a good friend of the show. Brett, again, we appreciate you being out there. We appreciate everybody and their suggestions. Remember, if you're a low-key big hog, you can choose, which are top tier, you can choose the bonus episodes for the month. And we do two each month. And this is our second one here for the month of January.
I'm pretty excited about it. And Tony, without further ado, why don't you give us a countdown for 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 12 seconds here on May 26, 1997, this very special episode of Monday Night Raw.
And we'll do it in 3, 2, 1, play.
Here comes Sable. That's her theme music. She's one of the highest ratings draws.
Sable! And it's a chair fit for a king.
So yeah, here's the deal. She is going to go ahead and get some of the absolute highest quarter hours. They're trying to scrounge up as much cash as they can. So they have her come out in some seductive or sexy or scantily clad outfit every single week and show off a new piece of merch. Sometimes it's a t-shirt. This time it's an inflatable chair promoting King of the Ring. They sold this shit for $60. They charged $11 shipping and handling. And there it is. I had her come out and sit on it. And I'm sure Vince McMahon and Vince Russo wanted her to come out and sit on a few other things as well.
So she didn't say a word, right? She just came out and rubbed it, looked provocative, and it got big ratings, and she walked away.
Tease that hair and put those sunglasses on, push them things up, and here we go.
Push them things up.
Next up, though, we're going to have a very special segment here with Mankind, and I want to track it, and I want you to hear it because I know you've never seen it, but I think you'll really like it. Let's go ahead and track it here.
It should be most interesting given the other story that we heard about his testicle, so to speak. Let's take you now to learn more about Mankind. There is no simple explanation for why a man becomes deranged. From childhood, Mickey Foley's affection for pain made him different. Despite coming from a loving and caring household, he was not at home. Mickey Foley was searching for a place to belong.
It was 1983. And upstate New York, with its endless rolling fields, might be a nice place for a lot of boys. But not when Jimmy Snuka and Don Morocco were in a cage in October in Madison Square Garden. That's where I wanted to be. I didn't want to ride horses along a field. I didn't want to fish for trout in a stream. I wanted to be where the blood and guts were, Jimmy. So I put out my thumb, Jimmy. And it took 16 or 17 hours, but I made my way to the garden. It took just about all the money I had in the world, but I got a front row seat. And I saw the move that would change my life. When Jimmy Snuka came off the top of the cage, and I saw people stand up. And I saw people cheer. And I know I wasn't the only person whose life was changed in that arena. And I realized, Jimmy, that I wanted to do the same thing. I wanted to hear people cheer for me because of some act of bravery that I committed. I wanted to see people's emotions. I wanted to see children cry out of love for me and the things I could do inside a ring. That's my first time in Madison Square Garden, and my parents weren't there. I did it just like I've done just about everything else in my life, all by myself.
That's when Mickey Foley developed an alter ego, a superstar with the athleticism of Jimmy Snuka and the sex appeal he so desperately wanted in high school.
I made a movie when I was 18 about myself, maybe as a type of escape, where I was a wrestler. And it's strange, the first time I ever met Shawn Michaels, you know him?
Oh yeah, very well.
He looked at my scarred and battered body. He didn't know me, but he knew the legend of who I was before. And he said, "Is this the way you always envisioned yourself?" Looking somewhat down on me. And I said, "No, you know, the strange thing is I always imagine myself being you." And he said, "You mean the champ?" I said, "No, I mean the girls, the jewelry, the tattoos, the love." So in my movie, I was not Mick Foley. I sure as hell wasn't Mankind. I was Dude Love.
"We are gonna tear this rotten apple right down to its stinking New York core. And while we're here for only one reason only: fame, honor, fortune, glory, to destruct, to destroy, and to take that WWF championship belt, that World Wrestling Federation belt."
And during the course of the movie, dating back to my experience in Madison Square Garden, I decided I was going to do something heroic. I was going to do something to make people cheer for me. So I ascended up onto my friend's roof, and I dove off.
"Time, love must be 50, 60, 70 feet in the air. Dude, love!
Ironically, Dude Love gave Mick Foley his first break. It became an underground hit and somehow wound up in the hands of wrestling great Dominic DiNucci. DiNucci admired Mick's guts more than his skill and took him under his wing. Every weekend, for the next 2 years, Mick traveled 800 miles round trip, eating and sleeping in the back seat of his 79 Ford Fairmont, still hoping to realize his dream.
I knew I wasn't ready to be Dude Love yet. Never wanted to be Cactus Jack. I figured, here is a horrible name for a horrible wrestler. And by golly, as soon as I get the ability, then I'll get that heart-shaped tattoo on my chest. I'll put those earrings in, and I'm gonna get the girls." And it never really worked out that way, did it, Jimmy?
Not quite.
I guess nature didn't cooperate with me. Cactus Jack was supposed to be around for 3 months. He stayed for 11 years.
Next week, Mickey Foley becomes Cactus Jack. 11 years in a sadistic subculture of nails, barbed wire, and bombs. A lost soul still searching for a place to belong.
And I walked out the first time I saw barbed wire strung up in place of ring ropes. And I said, "I'm finally home!" Mrs. Foley's little boy is finally home.
That segment made him a star.
I can see why.
A series of interviews that Jim Ross had a lot of faith and confidence in. Of course, he was a big advocate for hiring Cactus Jack, and Vince McMahon wanted no part of it. He eventually acquiesced, and it was during this filming when they did that sit down interview, and it stretched out over a few weeks, where Vince McMahon finally realized, wait a minute, we got something here. Mm. And Foley became the world champion and became a WWF legend. He had certainly been a legend in Japan and WCW, but now he's a bona fide main eventer and world champion. And what a segment. And here he is, the best wrestler in the world in 1997. And I don't think there was any doubt about that fact. Shawn Michaels, not without controversy himself, but it's about as good as it gets here. This is, to me, the best, I don't know, 8 month run that a wrestler ever had. And it was around this time that Shawn started to develop a chip on his shoulder that was not only present backstage, but in front of the camera. Prior to this, he had been the clean cut, white meat, baby face, you know, that made all the girls scream, but he's going to start to have a little bit of a harder edge here. And he's supposed to be feuding with Bret Hart. And so is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Bret Hart is injured though. He's got a knee injury. The original plan was at King of the Ring the following month, we were finally going to have match number two, if you will, in this era of Shawn and Bret. Of course, they'd wrestled many times before, but WrestleMania 12, the prior year in 1996, people wanted that as a rematch here in 1997. Shawn lost his smile. The rematch didn't happen. So it's finally going to happen at King of the Ring in theory, but Bret's knee still can't go. So ultimately they call an audible and it becomes Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels, who have one common enemy in Bret Hart, because Bret Hart is doing the Canadian angle, and Stone Cold started to get hot here. You know, at WrestleMania, they did the double turn. So Bret is now the heel. Stone Cold is the baby face. And there are your tag team champions, half of the Hart Foundation, Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. And they are just dripping in gold. You see, Owen is the Intercontinental champion and the tag champion. And you see Jim Neidhart behind him carrying both of Owen's Slammy Awards. Meanwhile, the Bulldog has also the tag title belt and the European Championship. So the Hart Foundation are like a modern day horseman, if you will. They've got all the gold.
Yeah.
And it's quite a faction here, man. I love this version of the Hart Foundation. It's my very favorite version.
And they got Brian Pillman to boot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I want to say something about Mick Foley here.
Yeah.
That was a riveting, well done, as yes. well as I've ever seen package.
I'm glad you got to see it.
Yeah, it was. And the way they, you know, he on top of the, on top of the roof.
Yeah.
And then, you know, dissolving to Snook on top of the cage. Mick told me that, you know, we used to run, years ago, ran the, Nassau Coliseum,
right?
Jim Crockett Promotions. I did the ring announcing and I sang the national anthem. And Mick told me, he said, I was in the audience when you sang the national anthem. I said, you shouldn't be. He said, no, I was there. I was there as a fan, which I think I'll never forget. And now after seeing that, I need to say this. And I say this sincerely. I'm not making this about me. Okay. If in fact I helped elevate him winning the WWF title by what I said, by the line that was given to me, if it changed a lot of channels and put a lot of more eyes on him and elevated him being the champion, I'm fucking glad.
You should be.
I'm glad because of how he loves the sport and it all. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, man, I may have had a hand in elevating his career. His career was elevated already. I get that.
Yeah. He was becoming world champion with or without, right. But more people saw right. it because of what you did.
Right.
And well, yeah, it was a major moment and he was well deserved.
Yes. And I'm happy. I'm really happy that I'm not happy that we said that in the way that we said it, but I'm happy that it helped him out.
That it worked out the way it did.
Yes. Worked out the way I feel good about that. So I just wanted to put a button on that. And, the fans are into this one too, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, everything Shawn does is going to get a reaction. You can see he's all over the place. He has incredible wind and athleticism. He's so nimble, might even be the word.
Yeah.
He just light on his feet and can do incredible stuff that nobody else can, and make it look spectacular as he does it. And, right. And by the way, Bulldog's got his working shoes on here. In this era, the newsletter could be hot and cold on Bulldog, but I've always had him as one of my absolute favorites. And I think he is not only in tremendous shape here, but he's doing a great job. And here comes Stone Cold, who is white hot. Of course, he won King of the Ring in 96, cut that Austin 316 promo, immediately started a feud with Bret Hart, and he was off to the races. But at this point, he's over. He's climbing the ladder. He's going to be a big deal. He's not yet world champ. He's not yet main event, but he's not far from it. And you've got very, very talented performers here. I mean, even the referee in the ring, senior referee Earl Hebner, probably the most iconic WWF referee of all time. No disrespect to a great friend of the show here, Mr. Mike Chioda. But when you think about great classic WWF referees and matches, you think about Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
And Owen Hart, my gosh, what else could be said? Oh man, this is back before they did the stupid "let's stand beside the TV" thing that they did for years and years on Raw. We see the Road Warriors watching a monitor in the back.
Mm-hmm.
This, I like that. This roster is unbelievable, man.
Everything Austin does, you can see it's with attitude.
Yep.
I mean, his character, obviously on promos, you knew it, but just in the ring, it was, he knew his character, man.
Everything snaps. Everything's exaggerated. You know, you go back and you watch like old Benoit stuff or old Dynamite Kid. He's probably the first guy I saw do it. He made a suplex look devastating because he didn't just do a suplex. He did it quick, fast, with force. It was exaggerated. And Austin kind of wrestles that way as the Stone Cold character.
Yeah. And you know, you were talking about, Shawn Michaels. Michaels, one of the things that made Michaels so great, I thought, was his speed in the ring.
Yes.
He could go from rope to rope faster than anybody. It just looked explosive. He was so explosive. And Austin's doing a good job here. And of course, Owen, one of the greats.
Nice maneuver there from a sleeper hold. Just drive his chin down on the top of your head. Very realistic. Looks like it could work in the UFC. And you see the ropes here are still loose. We were just watching recently an old episode of Mid-South, and we commented on how loose the ropes are. This too is before you've got Rob Van Dam trying to do split-legged moonsaults, and there's not a Rey Mysterio in the back who's going to do springboard Hurricane Ranas. And there's the hot tag, and man, to your point, Shawn does go really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's an old cliche in wrestling. I remember I heard Terry Funk say once, his advice to young wrestlers was slow down. And, mm-hmm. and when you think you're going too slow, slow down some more.
Right.
Shawn Michaels did not subscribe to that. He wanted fast action. He wanted high energy, very reminiscent of the Young Bucks. You can tell a lot of what they do, especially Nick Jackson is inspired by the way that Shawn wrestled. And everybody has a choice when you wrestle Shawn. Do you want to try to match that energy? And clearly these other three performers do. You saw Bulldog do his own kip up there to show off that he's pretty agile as well.
Yeah.
Even if he is a power lifter. But you had other guys like Kevin Nash who would say in their match at WrestleMania 11, oh, that motherfucker was trying to embarrass me and humiliate me. He was trying to blow me up and I wasn't going to let him.
Wow.
And I guess that's something to consider, that if you don't have the wind or the cardio, that a much lighter man like Shawn Michaels does, you could be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? This is not the way we do that thing. Slow down.
Yeah. Right. You're not working as a team, which is what you should do in a match.
But I mean, even when he's selling for other guys, and by the way, that no matter what anybody says is what makes a great wrestler, the sell,
mm-hmm.
not just the moves, but that makes you look good. But if that guy doesn't sell your moves don't look like shit.
Exactly.
It's all about the sell. And Shawn knew how to sell. And some people would be critical of his selling at times and say it was too over the top and cartoonish. And that's been a knock for Mr. Perfect. And for that matter, Dolph Ziggler. But I never had a problem with it for the most part. I mean, I know people point at like the Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess that is probably the most egregious example, but by and large, the rest of the stuff I'm okay with. Like there was a few months after this, he wrestled a series of matches with the Undertaker. And at one of those in your house matches with the Undertaker, he took a punch at the top of the ramp and then just did a backflip all the way down the ramp. And a lot of people would have a problem with it, but if Flair did it in 89 to Sting, then nobody would have had an issue.
I'm telling you, these four guys are fucking tearing it up in a ring.
I'm glad you're getting to see this because this is a great era for wrestling, a great era for the WWF. not only do they have great characters and great storylines, but they have great performers. Just bell to bell, I think this is some of the best performers in the business at this time. You know, Brett and Owen and obviously Sean is the best, but Austin has always been a quote unquote hell of a hand, even back when he was just stunning Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So you get them all in there and you get a great referee like Earl Hebner, you're going to create some magic. And this is a big moment here. Again, I want to remind everybody in storyline, Austin and Sean are strange bedfellows. They don't like each other. They don't get along. You know, this is the don't trust anyone era of the Stone Cold Steve Austin character, but they both hate the Hart Foundation. So they have a common enemy. That's the only thing they have in common though. And now they've got a tag title shot against the tag champions. They have a chance to hurt the Hart Foundation and take gold from them, but they don't really want to be tag partners. So it's a nice little storyline to the match as well.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It is, you know, we were doing things in WCW in 97. We had a great year, but we didn't have wrestling this. I mean, our cruiserweights were great, right? But man, this is some great shit. But look at that. What Sean can bump. Fuck. Man. It's like Dave Silva selling for Stan.
By the way, we're doing a new series over at adfreeshows.com. We debuted our first episode in January. Episode 2 will be in February, and as luck would have it, episode 2 is all about this belt, which is the belt that's on the line in this match, the WWF tag team title. So this belt was held by, like a few moments ago, we saw Owen and Bulldog come to the ring. They were wearing this belt. So you'll get to see all about this belt, how it's made, what makes it unique, what makes it special, who held it, the storylines that were involved with it, and all of that in beautiful 4K over at adfreeshows.com coming up in February.
I love beautiful 4K.
Beautiful 4K, baby.
We live long enough, we're going to see beautiful 5K eventually.
8K's next.
8K's next. That's right. Then 12. I got it.
They've got 8K TVs out there now. Not a lot of 8K content existing, but there is some. And yeah, 8K will be next. But I can't imagine that belts like these have ever been showcased in 4K before. And we do it almost like a How It's Made documentary style with producer Stupid Ass Stan's help. Mm. I did the sort of the format and theme and all that for the first title we focused on, which was the WCW United States Championship, but Hot Tag Stan, and he did a great job on research for this WWF tag. And as luck would have it, here on Patreon, you guys really dig this match and just great timing in time for us to talk about that belt.
Yeah, man. These guys are busting ass and the fans are with them
big time.
Well, yeah. And why shouldn't they be? Look at them standing. Why shouldn't they be, buddy? Because they are just performing. Fuck.
There's another hot tag and boy, everybody's bumping feet. Austin is like, oh, and you didn't get up in time. Fuck you. Here's another punch while you're on the ground. I love right this down. Spot right here. This sequence right here, where he just stomps them all the way down and then he usually flips them off.
Yeah, there you go.
Great stuff.
Oh, then he bumps and here we go.
We're getting close now. You can tell.
Yeah, we are getting close. All four men. Boom.
Super kick Jones. Let's track it.
The Heat.
We have new tag team champions. And look at this. The Hart Foundation. It's all over Shawn Michaels.
And Austin's not helping Shawn.
Austin has that championship belt. And wait a minute. He just spotted Bret Hart. The Hitman is up there all by himself.
See how gingerly he took him down?
Mm-hmm.
Because Brett's got a bad knee for real.
Yeah.
So charges at him, takes him down very carefully. And Brett's making sure to say, not this knee, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yep.
And before he gets to put the move on, here come the guys. So nice little storyline there. I love it. Now they're tag team champions, but they don't like each other to the point that when it's 3-on-1 against my tag partner, I don't give a shit. I'm just getting my belt and going to the back. Oh, wait, look, there's the guy I hate on the way. I'll stop and whoop him. It's a nice segment here, is it not?
Yeah, it's good. It's good TV. It's good wrestling TV.
And there you see stupid ass Stan really worried about what I'm going to say next to bury him. Listen, this was fun. We got to watch a little 1997 WWF. I think you're going to dig it. You know what? Let's just go ahead and skip ahead a little bit. Let's go to 127.34. I paused it, but there is a follow-up promo that maybe we should watch. Are you at 127.34? Can you get there by clicking that tile at the bottom, Tony?
I clicked it. I'm there.
Okay, here we go. Let's track this, and let's see the fallout from our new tag team champions.
Standing by, ladies and gentlemen, we have Stone Cold Steve Austin in his locker room. And boy, have these fans been entertained. And congratulations, Stone Cold, on becoming tag team champion. Or should I say, congratulations on that, as well as getting to the Hitman Bret Hart.
You ain't got
to
say a damn thing. Anybody be happy to win the World Tag Team Championships. But the bottom line is, not only did I win the Tag Team Championships, but I did it by myself. And on top of that, I beat the hell out of Bret the Hitman.
You didn't do anything on yourself, pal. Takes two. That's why it's called a tag team.
Well, yeah,
I got news for you.
Last time I looked, I did everything out there.
Oh, yeah?
Damn right I did.
Who knocked that bulldog out? Who knocked him out?
Who did? You're not going to miss a match.
Plus, you got to get your stuff together.
I guess they're going to be arguing all night long.
Remember that?
Thank you, gentlemen.
You don't have to like me.
They do not like each other.
So there you see. Now you know what's coming. They are going to actually wind up wrestling each other as tag champs at the next pay-per-view. I wanted to point out something that makes this belt series fun. When you saw Shawn Michaels come in, he was holding the belt up, and I don't know what you can make out or not make out here, but this one is missing a snap. So you can see right there, a snap is missing. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is that's how you know who had it and when and where. So you look for little identifying marks like that as a belt mark. And so since Austin's, we didn't get to see the full belt, but we did see the snap box for Shawn Michaels, that this particular belt that's in my lap is the same belt that was in Austin's lap. That's what makes title chase so fun, is figuring out all the little intricacies of what makes each belt unique or different, and then chasing back the detailed history. So even though it's over on adfreeshows.com, since I talked about it so much here on WHW Monday Patreon, I'm going to make sure when we have this episode done on this tag belt, we'll post it here on WHW Monday as well. So it's a nice little Easter egg and a little bonus here, since we just watched the story of how these tag belts changed hands. And I don't know, man, it's fun going back and reliving the great stuff from 1997. And I'm glad you got to see the Mankind thing. That wasn't even originally what we were requested to watch, but I thought, man, it's on the same show. I got to show this to Tony, and I'm glad you dug it as much as I did.
Yeah, tremendous. Absolutely. I'm so glad I watched it, and it gave me a good feeling about any kid who has a dream of becoming a pro wrestler and follows through on that dream. It really does.
Well, listen, right now it looks like it's about that time, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stan and Dave Silva, we understand, having a lot of heat backstage. Yes. And we are going to book them in a belly bump. Mm. And I'm not so sure who's going to win. Matt Coon is going to be the referee if he can get up off his feet, because we know he just had surgery, but we know he is a lazy piece of shit. So next week it's Stan versus Dave Silva in a belly bump, and we'll see who wins. But for now, we are desperately out of time. See you next time on
Patreon, patreon.com/WHW Monday. We really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next month, right here on What Happened When.